Greetings in the name of the Lord. For a number of weeks, we have been studying from Paul's epistle to the Romans. And when I say Paul's epistles, you understand I'm talking about the Word of God itself. God inspired Paul what he was to write down in this very important doctrinal book. Every word in the Scriptures has been inspired by God, whether it's history or poetry or prophecy or whatever it might be, it's been inspired by God. God brought to the attention of these people exactly what he wanted them to write down. And so we call this the inspiration of the Scriptures. Now we have been studying this epistle to the Romans because its main theme is the salvation of God or the mercy of God. These phrases are used throughout the book. And these phrases are very, very important because it's important to understand as we live in this world exactly what God's salvation is all about. If you were to study, for instance, from chapter 1:18 to chapter 5, verse 21 of this book of Romans, you would find that he's talking there, first of all, about why we need salvation and then how we find salvation. We spent a number of weeks just on these subjects. Why we need salvation, we're hopeless, lost sinners, every single one of us without Christ, then how we find salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now I want to urge you, as we're coming into this more deeply today, I want to urge you, if you have never really trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, this is a step you need to take. You may be a churchgoer, you may be participating in all of the ceremonies of your church, you may be listening to the teachings of man. They're teaching you this thing or that thing or some other thing about how you can go to heaven. But I would urge you to listen to the word of the Lord himself. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is found in John chapter 3. And again in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is where you need to begin. Now, we have been studying the last several times from the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And this begins the section, how is saved man to live? This man now has trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And he doesn't want any misunderstanding in this man. This man might have thought, perhaps, that because I'm under the grace of God, I can just go ahead and sin because God's grace will cover everything. This, of course, is a terrible, tragic misunderstanding of the truth. God has called us from sin into righteousness. And now in verse 15, and this is the verse I want to read of Romans chapter 6, there is a second question he's asking. The first question was, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That was verse 1. But now in verse 15 he says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now there's a misunderstanding, a very important and a very tragic misunderstanding about the law of Moses. I want to say this very respectfully and very kindly, but there are those who believe that in Christ I am still under the law of Moses. The teaching of the Scriptures, and we're going to discuss this perhaps in several different messages in the future, the teaching of the Scriptures, not only in the book of Romans, but in the book of Galatians as well, is very, very clear that in Christ I am no longer under the law of Moses. The law of Moses had hundreds and hundreds of regulations, and these regulations covered everything from eating to various things that we do in life, relationships, and so forth. We are not under the law of Moses anymore. According to Galatians chapter 5, now we are under the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, he says in Galatians 5:16, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now we're going to be talking about this in a few moments, but this is a very important subject that I'm talking about today, and that's why I only took the one verse. Are we still under the law of Moses? And do we still follow its precepts? Or are we now following a different path altogether? In other words, has the Spirit led us down a different line? Now, I want to make it clear, as far as moral teachings are concerned, those are eternal principles. So they were found in Exodus chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, for instance, but they're also found in many other places in the Bible, these moral precepts that we're to follow. It's the hundreds of regulations that people misunderstand. And some people live religiously by them. They may say, well, look, I am saved by faith, but if I don't keep the law, I am under the curse of the law. This, of course, is false. Galatians tells us if we're under the law, we're under its curse. In other words, it tells us exactly the opposite, and you may look this up for yourselves. It tells us exactly the opposite of that. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't use God's word falsely. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we are being asked the question, shall we continue in sin because we're not under law but under grace? And the idea is no, because now God has given us a means of overcoming sin by the indwelling Holy Spirit. But today I just want to deal with the question, not under law, but under grace. Not under law, but under grace. What he is saying here, and this is the thing I want to emphasize today, and then we'll pick up this teaching in future messages. Well, what he is saying here is that when you come to God under the grace of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer under the thing you formerly were under. So this would apply to the Jewish person, or it would apply to a person who is a student of the Old Testament and who believes that somehow he is still under the law. He is simply saying you cannot be under both. If you're under the law, there is another way to God, but it's not the way of grace. In other words, it's a way of works, and this way has failed. In other words, the Jews were never saved by this, even though they tried to be saved by this. They never were saved by this way of coming to God through the law. This passage and other passages clearly teach us that the law taught us how sinful we were, but it didn't save us from our sins. It didn't save the Old Testament Jew. It merely pointed him to his need of the coming Messiah. Now, let me refer for a few moments to the book of Galatians, because the book of Galatians picks up this question, are we under the law anymore? If you were to study especially Galatians chapters 1 to 4, and then into chapter 5 down to verse 16. There are several things that we notice. First of all, the burden of chapters 1 to 4 is that we are now living under the grace of God and we're no longer under the law of Moses. Paul had been in Galatia on his first missionary journey. When he went back again to Antioch, over there in the Palestine area, when he went back again to Antioch, some false teachers had crept into the church. Perhaps they were professing even to be Christians, but they weren't really in their hearts. And they were saying to these Galatian believers, now, it's good to be under faith, but unless you come back to the law of Moses, you cannot truly have assurance of salvation. And Paul calls this another gospel. And he says of these people, let them be accursed. In other words, these people are wrong, they are teaching false doctrine, let them be a curse. And what he is teaching in chapters 1 to 4 is this, that the law of Moses has served its purpose in helping the Old Testament Jews to see their sinful condition and their need of a Savior. If you were to study again with me, if you were to go back to a previous message I gave, back to chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, it shows us that even though the Gentile has not been under the law of Moses, he has this law written on his heart. In other words, everyone is conscious of sin. God in his goodness let the Jewish person in the Old Testament know of his sin through the law. It was so strict, the standards were so high, that he could not possibly keep them all. And it showed him that even though he might have thought, as Paul did in Philippians chapter 3, he might have thought that he was blameless. Before God, he was still a hopeless lost sinner. And now, we see again in the book of Galatians, now that that set of rules has been taken away, and some people just like to live under rules, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but now that that set of rules has been taken away and freedom has come, there is this possibility of misunderstanding. In other words, the idea of some of the Gentiles was, I'm not under the law. I never will be under the law of Moses, but now I am free to sin. Doesn't this sound a little bit like verse 1? In other words, now that I'm under grace, I'm free to sin. And so, the Gentile was saying in verse 15, a very similar argument, but a slightly different twist to it. He is saying now, because I'm not under the law, there are no rules that govern my life. And this, of course, was a false supposition. The law and its commandments and all of its tenements have been taken away, but I'm still under the standards of holiness and righteousness and devotion to God that God has set for the Christian, for the New Testament Christian, in other words, whether he be Jew or Gentile. God has set this standard for the New Testament Christian. I am still under the righteousness of God and the holiness of God and his standards for bringing righteousness and holiness into my life. So there was this misunderstanding. So as the believers in Romans 5 and 6 had misunderstood about grace, so the Gentiles in the book of Galatians, especially in chapter 5, misunderstood about freedom. In other words, he says, stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, verse 1. But then, in verse 13, he says, do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the flesh. Do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the flesh. And so this was a very, very important teaching. This teaching that I'm now living under the grace of God. I'm not free to sin as I please just because I'm not under the law anymore. It was a very, very important teaching. So God's basis, and I want to repeat this again and again, God's basis for the Christian life is still lives of holiness and purity, lives that are pleasing to God. And this is to be the goal and the orientation of every Christian. Now let's just note a couple of things. As far as standing before God is concerned, we have now been made righteous through the righteousness of Christ himself. In other words, as far as my eternal standing is concerned, when I stand before God, I do not stand in the righteousness that I have done, but I stand in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand in his righteousness. I stand through his righteousness and through his sacrifice on the cross. His righteousness has been made possible by that sacrifice. So our concern today, we of course have this standing before God, but our concern today is not obtaining righteousness before God, but it's living righteously before him to please him and to demonstrate our new life in him. The second thing I want to note about this righteousness in daily living is now maintained through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Have I said that before? Let me say it again. You and I cannot live righteously in our own strength. Again and again, I want to remind you, Romans 7 is teaching this truth. When you come down to verses 8 to the end of Romans chapter 7, this man is hopelessly defeated because he was trying to live his Christian life in his own strength. We cannot live our Christian lives in our own strength. We do it through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is, we are not to use our freedom from the law as an opportunity for the flesh. I've mentioned this, I won't go into this anymore. Just because we're free from the law, God now has turned us to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, victory through him, that we might live righteously before God. Now this does not compare with the harshness of living under the law. In other words, people labor under the law. I don't want to make the Christian life a laborious thing, if there is such a word as that, a laborious thing to you, where you feel somehow that you're pressed under and you're under a constant great burden to live the Christian life. It is a great responsibility, but it's also a joy to be in right relationship with the Lord. Because this opens up, and this is what I want to mention in closing, this opens up the possibility of all of the blessing and the favor of God in our lives. In other words, this is what we need as Christians. We need the blessing and the favor of God in our lives. And so we have opened up before us this possibility that when I'm living a life of righteousness and holiness, when I'm living a life that is pleasing to God, it's like the windows of heaven are open to us that we now can enjoy all of the favor and all of the blessing that God has for us. And so it's not just a burden, it's a joy and it's an opportunity for the Christian. Many, many Christians, I'm sorry to say, have never experienced the blessing and favor of God. In other words, they're living with one foot in the world, one foot in the Lord. They profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to be fair, they probably possess Him as well. But they've never known the favor and the blessing of God. God gives His favor and blessing to lives that are kept clean daily before Him. In other words, where sin is confessed, hearts are tender and open to His will. Hearts are seeking after God. Hearts love Him. They express their devotion to Him, not only by word, but by the way they live. And God's favor and blessing is open to such people. And God wants you to have His favor and blessing. So the favor and blessing does not come through the hundreds of rules of the Old Testament law. That was our burden for today. Our burden for today is that we are not under law, but we're under grace. And you have to choose. In other words, if you're depending still upon the law of Moses to help you somehow, either to get you saved or to help you keep your salvation, you need to study God's Word. Please go back to God's Word. Study Romans 6 and 7. Study Galatians, the entire book. It will teach you so clearly you're not under it. Now you're under the Holy Spirit. And victory can come, and victory will come through Him and through His working in your lives as you yield them to Him. May the Lord bless you and help you to understand these very important truths.